Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action in Thurles, the final meeting in Ireland before Christmas. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is Mr. Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks, Mark.
Good. What do you make of the card in Thurles today then, Andy?
It's not quite fair. Thurles never really attracts a very strong quality of fields anyway. They've got a couple of grade twos later on in the year. But it's pretty bargain basement stuff. One or two half-decent betting races, in all fairness. Lots of runners. Hopefully, if we can find maybe one or two on the card, we might just get a head in front before the break.
Yeah, barring the 120, the fields are pretty useful, aren't they? Pretty decent sizes and fairly competitive races. So, like I say, there's a few decent betting mediums on the card.
Yeah, and to be fair, the ground's not too bad over in Ireland at the moment. It might get a bit worse during the day. I think the forecast is pretty appalling, isn't it? Some rain sweeping across the RSC, going to get scattered showers. But it's already, done its worst, and I think soft ground's pretty much what it's going to be throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah. That's been a good thing about Irish racing this year. We haven't really had any properly bottomless ground, have we? It's been relatively okay.
Yeah, and no abandonments as well.
Yeah.
That's been the shock. Usually by now we've lost several through either snow, frost or waterlogging, but none of that's transpired this season, so it means that I've been busy more than normal.
Well, it's good to be busy, as they say.
It is, yeah.
Let's get stuck into the action then. The first race this afternoon is the 12:20. It's a Martinstown Opportunity Handicap Chase, and it's over 2.25 miles. And Sitcom is the market leader at the time of recording, currently 4-1 in the morning. And he's getting the hang of things over over fences. He's now rated the same as a chaser as she. Now rated the same as a chaser as she is over hurdles, and starting to go the right way. Course and distance form, does that matter too much at Thurles, Andy?
I always think it's worth considering, isn't it? It's got to be with any horse that's won around a track. I mean, Thurles is a fairly sharp, right-handed track. It's up and hill, down dale. Last two fences are quite tricky, particularly the last. So if you've had the experience of going around this track, that's certainly going to stand you in good stead. This horse won on the 28th of November. Getting the better of the exchanges in the latter part of the race. Beat Kilcarry Bridge and Vina Vina Carver. Two horses that you wouldn't be getting massively excited about. But Sitcom could do no more than beat what was put in front of her. And that was her first win in three starts. Decent return, 33%. And, the time of the race is OK as well. Just slightly slower than the other chase on the same card on the last circuit. She seems to jump particularly well. And she's got 4 months off to heavy ground as well. 2 mile 2 round here is bang on. Yeah, there's quite a lot to enthuse over her chances here today. She's going to be around about a 4-1 chance. Doesn't mean to say that she's guaranteed to justify a position in the market, because I thought this is quite a trappy little handicap, this. You can make cases out for 4 or 5. You'd certainly give Bendala Bow a bit of a second look as well. He's managed to finish second on his last two starts. In good races at Punchestown, there's no denying that his speed figures stack up quite well. That run behind Keep on Track, who, to be fair, was a little bit disappointing the other day in the cross-country trace for Edna Bolger, reads quite well. And the run the time before as well was good on the numbers. So if he handles the track, he's got to be a consideration. Musawama absolutely smashed the ball out of the park here 2 runs ago. Now, he would be a serious consideration for me here if the ground was slightly quicker than it's going to be today, because on good ground, I think he's half decent, Daniel Howard's 5-year-old, because he flew round when he made all to beat Drumlister by 14 lengths. But he flopped the other day on much softer ground at Fairy House in a better race. Certainly dropping back in grade will help him. And with the blinkers on, I think he'll be off in front and, serving it up to them. I think he'll give you a good run for your money. But whether he's quite good enough to last it out on soft ground, I won't know. The one I'm going to go for is a bit of a risk attached to him. Philip Burns, Moiken, an 8-year-old by Red Ransom, who has hit the deck on his last two starts. But to be fair to him, this is going to sound a bit double-dutch, but I don't think he's actually a bad jumper. I just think that mistake last time out was born out of the fact that he was going really well and he actually overjumped at Garran Park on the 23rd of November at the third last. he was really travelling strongly, and that was the first time that a hood has been put on this horse. Now, similar to quite a few in this race, he's also got some good course form. He managed to win here last year when the mud was flying, so conditions that thoroughly shouldn't be too much of an issue. And he's 10-1 with Winning Hill this morning. I think he's definitely been overlooked because, to my eyes, like I say, he was going really well the other day. And, you know, with a clear round, hopefully he can avoid mishap and certainly give us a good run. And each way, that kind of price, I'll be more than happy to put him up.
OK. On to the second race then. That's the 12:50. This is the Maloney Cup Handicap Chase. It's over 3 miles, and Miss Palmer heads the betting at the time of recording. 7-2 favourites. She won at Tramore last time over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. £5 higher this afternoon, but she did stay on well on that occasion. So the step up to 3 miles should probably be fine for her. But 18 of them in the lineup for this, Andy. It is a competitive race.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. I certainly think Miss Palm has to go on anyone's shortlist. At least she arrives in him in good nick. And the ground the other day deteriorated quite badly at Tramore, and so and it enabled her to outstay her rivals. Actually, it was running in pretty desperate conditions. You could hardly see what was happening, to be honest. I mean, it's a good job she was a grey, because she came out of the gloom, and we could recognise that she was in front. She beat the very reliable Dog Barrel Hill, who's now finished runner-up on his last three starts. So form into twining Dog Barrel Hill is always worth looking at. And, you know, she seems to go really well on a sharp right-handed track. All her best form's going right-handed. She stays really well. So today's trip of 3 miles should actually play into her strengths. So I can see why a lot of punters are making her favourite and wanting to get with her. Interesting, there's a bit of money for a horse called Witness of Fashion this morning. Don't know anything about this horse. Patrick Rooney wouldn't have that many horses in his stable, but noticed that he won the other day, 2 weeks ago, in a point-to-point. And those point-to-pointers are very difficult to assess for the handicapper, so off a mark of 85, he could be very well treated. I'm going to go for a horse, however, that I thought was running a really big race here last time out in quite a good speed figure race. It was won by A Decent Excuse, who managed to lower the colours of the favourite, or one of the favourites in the race, Bally Dusk. Now, Bally Dusk has been a real revelation this season for Mouse Morris. He's managed to win 2 of his last 4 starts since he's had the blinkers applied. He's looked quite a good horse, and he's run well in defeat subsequently, and indeed when he's won again. So I'm quite keen on this form. And it was noticeable that Caddyman was closing on the front two in that race, but unfortunately he tipped up at the notorious third last at the top of the hill. I say notorious. It seems to come on a very funny angle. There's two fences right at the top of the course, and the first one's okay, but the second one, it's probably one of the worst percentage fences of fallers in Ireland. Yeah, I think if we were doing a tally up at the end of the year, that third last at Thurles would probably claim more victories than anywhere else. And he claimed another one in the shape of Andrew Slattery's 8-year-old. So even though he hasn't won a race in 10 starts, the indication last time out that he's certainly worth a second look in a race like this, because he was going well. And at 11-1, if he can, again, another one similar to the first race I chose with a horse that's fallen twice, if he can avoid mishap, I think he's going to outrun his odds. So Caddyman each way in that 12:50.
Okay, Caddyman each way then there in the second race. On to the third race. This is at 1:20, and this is the Horse and Jockey Hotel Hurdle. It's over 2 miles, and unfortunately there's only 3 of them in the lineup, and we have a massively odds on favourite. Underscore is the 1-16 favourite at the time of recording in the morning for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Rory O'Moore is 7-1, and it's 40-1 for our Ollie. Is it in any way possible to take on the favourite here, Andy?
Not really, no. I mean, there's nothing you could do in this race, just sit back and admire the winner. It's going to be a bit of a lap of honour, isn't it, Undersue? Winner of a very good novices hurdle, almost like a graded novices hurdle at the Punchestown Festival the last time we saw him, beating Moscow Manon and Cops and Robbers in pretty scintillating fashion, stayed on very strongly. And it's all gearing up to really further educating him along the way. He's obviously going to be diving into much busier waters than this in the next run or two. Perhaps have a run in the new year and then see where they are. You know, he's obviously going to be a festival horse towards the back end of the season. They're going very, very softly with him. Unbeaten in 4, likely to be unblemished here today. Rory O'Moore will take them along at a good gallop like he often does. At least he'll give Undersur more than a decent workout. The last thing we want, or Willie Mullins would want, is a complete nutter jog round. You know, he'd probably do more work than he would at home here. But Rory O'Moore is a decent front runner, should go along at a good pace. It'll allow Ruby Walsh to track him and then pick him off in the home straight. But I'm afraid this race has really symbolised many conditions races over in Ireland, like they are in this country as well. Very uncompetitive, and while William Mullins has got so many powerful horses in his stable, I think we're going to get this on a regular basis for the next year or two.
Okay, the favourite then. Can't really back it at 116 unless you've got an absolute stack of money, so just sit back and enjoy the 120 by the looks of things.
Can't even do anything each way, can you? It's not as if there's not five runners you can back the second favourite. It's just a dead rubber, really, that race.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, but the 150, thankfully, is much more competitive. This is a mare's maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and 18 of them in the lineup for this one. 7-2 the field at the time of recording, with the Cookie Jar heading the betting just ahead of Dante's Firth and Mist Cloud. It's then 5-1 for Wild Blueberry. Kymin's Way is 6s, and then 12-1 barring those. So there's a cluster of them there at the top of the betting, Andy. Four or five of them. Do you think it's probably between those four or five?
Yeah, I'd say so. Something that we've all done in the past, isn't it? Got our hands caught in the cookie jar. Hopefully this horse will run a big race here. 7-2 William Hill this morning. Certainly, arguably, you'd say that pick up the form, really. That third behind Gambling Girl. Last time out, we saw this horse early in November, Down Royal. He's probably the best form on offer. I mean, Gambling Girl went into that race in really good form. She subsequently bombed out in a good mare's only race next time out. But that run also behind Aidan O'Brien's Carriganog also reads quite well, because the third horse has won subsequently as well, Paul Nolan's Theatre Mill. So she probably just set the standard. The only problem I've got with the Cookie Jar is that on the evidence I've seen of her, she probably wants a little bit further than 2 miles. Now, I know the ground's gone soft here today at Thurles, but it still might be an insufficient enough stamina to allow her to win this race. Perhaps if it was 2.5 miles, I'd be very keen on, because she was outpaced throughout that to race and Down Royal and did all her best work at the end. So I'll be a little bit more circumspect with her chances than the market suggests here. And I'm going to go with Miss Cloud. I often go down this particular route if I'm really struggling for a selection in a race like this, when Michael Winters has got a horse out of the point-to-point field. Now, he's done an amazing job with so many horses in the last year or two. Ribble Fitz, of course. Racing Pulse, of course, now in the care of John Quinn. He started from humble beginnings and then won a bumper the other day in Navan, and then obviously made a bright start for John at Newcastle the other day. Also, Miss United as well. What an amazing turnaround of fortunes he did with Miss United. Horse that started from humble beginnings to win a Galway hurdle throughout the summer, and plenty of other flat races along the way. So he's a very proficient trainer, Michael Winters. He's certainly nobody's fool. And this horse managed to win a mare's only point-to-point on the 17th of November. Now, I don't know what that form amounted to, but it's interesting to see that although she hit the deck on her previous two starts, she was only 4-1 and 7-2 respectively in those two races. So she obviously got a good reputation and plenty of ability. She was 1-2 to win that mare's open, albeit only three runners against her on her last start. But you know, she's owned by one of the big powerhouse patrons of the game as well. So the fact that the combination of Michael Winters, Trevor Hemmings, with a point-to-point winner and a mare's only main hurdle, which doesn't amount to much, I think the market's going to go very favourable in the direction of Miss Cloud, and she'll be my selection in that 150.
Okay, Miss Cloud then in the 150. Moving on to the fifth race next. This is at 220, and this is a novice hurdle over 2 miles and 6 furlongs, or 2¾ miles. And the top of the betting, we have Los Amigos and Grand Gesture. Los Amigos is 9-4, Grand Gesture 3-1. Those two met in a beginner's chase last time. They've both been beginner's chasing of late, but both of them revert back to hurdles here, Andy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's quite strange, really, particularly with Grand Gesture. You know, once Henry de Bromwed has rubber stamped them as being potential chasers, that's pretty much the route that he sticks with. And I'm quite surprised he's coming back hurdling here with this Son of Goldwell, who finished runner-up behind Las Amigas the last time these two horses clashed. They were slightly ahead of Bally Burke, who probably was the form horse, the one with the highest rating going into that race that particular day. So the fact that they were slightly ahead of that runner suggests that form's okay. Las Amigas was probably given too much to do last time out behind Tina Kelly Ladd. It was a race where Mouse Morris's horse, in the first time blinkers, rather stole a march on the field, and Los Amigos couldn't make the leeway up in the latter stages, try as though he might. So he's in good nick, Los Amigos. It's just whether he's going to be quick enough now going back over hurdles to cast aside one or two horses who probably have you know, a little bit of tactical speed. The one I quite like amongst those is a horse called Right Down the Middle. I don't think he's overlooked here and overpriced this morning. Hopefully eight runners all go to post here, because I think he's a decent each-way bet. Michael Mulvaney's five-year-old. He managed to win two starts ago. Beat decent field, actually, that day. Didn't appear to be any fluke about the result. He battled on very strongly in the hands of John Cullen, who rides today. He got the better of a shoot haul, and more in particular, the Job Is Right. Now, the Job Is Right had gone into that race a perennial bridesmaid, but subsequently, Michael Horrigan's charges managed to win a couple of races, suggesting the form of that race at Punchestown is quite good. Gordon O'Quack as well, the horse that finished fifth, he's won subsequently, albeit rather fortuitously, down in Clonmel when Turn and Go fell at the second last, went upsides. Although he got beat last time out at Thurles again, I thought, you know, that was a decent race. Gallant Tip, Perfect Gentleman and Some Officer would be half-decent novice hurdlers in their own right. So I actually think this horse has been totally dismissed this morning, rather, you know, crazily. And I do think he's worth a bet here, particularly at his price, 8-1. If you can get that with the eight runners, I think you'll be up for a decent run there in that 220.
OK, on to the penultimate race then, the 250. This is a Irish National Hunt Stallion Owners European Breeders Fund maiden hurdle over 2¾ miles, and the betting is headed by Urano. And you mentioned perennial bridesmaid in the last race, and this guy's the ultimate perennial bridesmaid, isn't he? He's finished second on all five hurdling starts. He was a triple bumper winner over in France, but when it gets to a stage like this, and he's 11-8 once again, Andy, is it time to start looking elsewhere?
Yeah, I'm not absolutely convinced by him at the moment, Urano. I can't work out whether he's a complete dodge or whether he's just been running over the wrong trip. I think we'll find out today, and I think that's what Willie Mullins is doing. He's experimenting here. He's been running him over 2 miles. Now, whether he's been getting outpaced by quicker horses or, like I say, he's a bit of an after you, Claude Merchant, time will only tell. So if he doesn't win today over 2.6, then I think we need to cast him aside into the dusty bin. The horse that beat him last time out would have probably been one of the most unreliable horses you'd ever imagine in a finish, a horse called Giant of a Man. Now, if you go back and watch Giant of a Man's last two runs prior to that victory at Thurles, you wouldn't have had anything to do with Desi Hughes' charge. He's literally fouled it like a pack of cards on more than one occasion. In fact, I think he's almost stopped to a walk on the one day when he looked like winning at Sligo. So the fact that he managed to out-battle Urano is probably a testament to Urano's frailties in a finish. And as you say, around about 11-8, I wouldn't want to be ploughing into him, albeit he's obviously trained by the genius, which is Willie Mullins. And if ever a trainer can get a victory out of a horse like that, it's him. Thunder and Roses, he's been a bit disappointing as well for me, to be perfectly honest. Now, he's been in quite deep, to be honest, in his last two or three starts. There have been very, very good maidens he's been running in. The likes of Apache Stronghold and Clonard Lad, two starts back at Punchestown. But, you know, he went off 4-5 last time. I tipped him and napped him that day, and he could only manage fourth behind Right Down the Middle, Shoot Hall, and the Job Is Right. Now, he's certainly going to have to pull his socks up if he's going to justify his position in the market as second favourite here today. He's certainly got the ability, but whether he's got the inclination, the willingness to put it all together, time will only tell. So, for that fact, the front two in the market look slightly vulnerable and too short for my liking. I'm going to put up Oscar Fian here each way. Now, it's 15-2 with William Hill this morning. Johnny Levens is five-year-old. Now, he's got a little bit of upside in his profile, suggesting that he's going to give the front two at least a race. He got outpaced a little bit last time out in the hands of Barry Geraghty when sent off favourite, and that's a good handicap down in Navan. But he kept on very strongly at the line, much to the agony of me. He only went down by a neck. And prior to that, he caught the eye over 2 miles at Ney. So he's certainly got plenty of stamina. We know he's got the residual ability to certainly figure in a race like this. And I just think he's the cop-out each-way bet here. I just don't want anything to do with the front two in the market, their prices. And I'd rather bet Oscar Fien with a safety net of three places each way at 15-2. That's a very generous price.
Okay, and on to the final race then, the 3:20. We finish with a bumper over 2 miles, and the market usually relatively informative in bumpers, of course. And Tile Lady is the market leader this morning, 11-10 for her. She's on her first start for Willie Mullins, having been hurdling for Colin Murphy last time we saw her. But she returns from 570 days off, and in with Willie Mullins' good record in bumpers and the fact that the money seems to have come this morning, would you be siding with her?
It's difficult to really make too many strong cases out beyond her, really, to be honest, Mark. You're relying basically on William Mullins working the Oracle on this, but you know he does it time and time again, doesn't he, with other trainers' cast-offs. Colin Murphy did a reasonable job with this horse, albeit it didn't win. She ran quite well in a couple of half-decent maiden hurdles towards the back end of the last time we saw her back in 2012. Third behind Time to Catch Her, Woodreach, not too bad. And fourth behind the useful Tugboat, trained by Edward O'Grady. You know, he's not bad form either. You know, she's quite a decent-looking model as well. She's by Milan. She probably won better ground, actually, than this today. That would be the only sort of negative I'd put up. You know, she's out of a strong gale now as well. Now, punters out there will remember strong gale as being a firm ground specialist, and most of strong gale's offspring do want a decent surface. Now, the last two decent runs have come on good ground, so she won't want the ground to deteriorate too much. And obviously, she's been priced up on the fact that Willie Mullins has her in her care now, and he's cleaning up in these kind of races. But like I said, with the slight doubts about the ground, I'd probably go with the second favourite each way here. Anthony Mullins is 5-year-old. Fira Kane, who ran quite well here over the course and distance last time out. Now, I'm not certainly getting carried away with that race. It was won by Pat Farhi's Western Boy, who was a very well-backed individual on that occasion with Katie Walsh on board. And there's been seven subsequent horses out of that race, and not one of them's got play. So, as you can see, you know, we're dealing with bargain basement stuff here. But 4-1 with a horse that's been around the track, that has already proven itself on soft ground, first time up in a bumper, likely to improve, then I'd rather go each way with Fira Kane than take a short price about the favour that everyone's going to be with.
Okay, just one more round to get your thoughts on in this race, Andy. What do you make of Rose Tub? She ran well at Roscommon on soft ground, when second, at big odds as well. Obviously, and then the ground too quick for her last time. So back on a softer surface this afternoon, do you think she could produce something better in what's a relatively weak maiden?
The problem is it's summer jumping stuff, isn't it? I don't really contend with. I think summer jumping bumpers are really poor. The fact that she was 33-1 when second, albeit on soft ground, and then she went off 20-1 next time out. I mean, a horse that's finished second, you know, in a bumper, the 16 run and bumper, you think, oh, this is going to be about a 4-5-1 chance next time out. And it went off 20s and he only beat two home, but beat 65 lengths. So, again, another one I can't really enthuse over too much. It's just a really weak race. I mean, yeah. You could give Thomas Foley's horse half a chance as well, too, Shane, because that ran okay behind Royal Caviar the other day. And of course, Royal Caviar is probably one of the best horses that Willie Mullins has run in bumpers so far this season. So that one's got a bit of upside as well from an each-way perspective. But I think it is between those three. But I'm just going with the course form with Fira Kane.
OK. Let's have a summary of your selections then, Andy, one more time, if you wouldn't mind, for Thurles this afternoon.
Yeah, sure. Take a chance with a couple of horses in the first two races. Hit the deck on the last two starts, respectively. Moiken being the first of those each-way in the first. Caddyman, I thought, was running a huge race here when he unseated rider that notorious second last here the last day. And I think he'll run well in that race. Obviously, Undersu should make mincemeat of his opposition in the 120. Mitch Cloud, a very interesting runner there for Michael Winters in the 150, out of the point-to-point field. In the 220, probably my strongest each-way advice of the day would be to back right down the middle each way if you can get 8-1 for him. I'll also be very keen each way on Oscar Fian at 15-2 in the 250. And in the final race, again, another each-way bet, hopefully to nothing, in the shape of Fira Kane in the concluding bumper.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Enjoy Thurles this afternoon. Have a happy Christmas as well, and we'll speak to you on the other side of Christmas when there's some exciting racing coming from Ireland, as there is over here.
Yeah, it should be good stuff. I'm really looking forward to that four-day Leopardstown meeting. And in the interim, I'm off to Bangor today to see Ruther Glen run for the second time, so hopefully he can run well in that 140 at Bangor.
Okay, good luck with that, Andy. Thank you very much.
Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.